This podcast was first broadcast on Fresh FM, the top of the South community access radio station. For more information on Fresh FM, as well as links to other great local podcasts, go on our website freshfm.net or download the accessmedia.nz app.
Hello and welcome. I'm Galen Pound and you're listening to Top Writers. My guest today is poet and children's author Carol Dawn Urquilano. Carol is a published poet and author of two children's books, Arabella and the Bubble, illustrated by Janet Marshall, and Tanu and Little Blue, illustrated by Willem Lutz. Welcome to Top Writers, Carol.
Thank you.
Let's start with your poetry. When did you first start writing poems?
My mother wrote and read poetry, so I think I fell in love with words at a very young age. And I know I wrote poetry in primary school because I had a little notebook that I used to write in sitting up in our big old plum tree. And that notebook has disappeared long ago, so I really don't remember the poems. But I do remember one time being sent from classroom to classroom to read out a poem I'd written about fish. And that was pretty daunting, but also quite exciting. And maybe I'd heard the phrase, a school of fish, because it was about that. And I do remember the first verse. It was, a lot of little fishes was sitting neath the sea. And though that may seem strange to you, it is not strange to me. All those little pupils with fishes big and small are sitting on their tiny tails beside a coral wall. And then it went on for verses describing the school and their books and everything. It was, you know, quite interesting.
How old were you?
Oh, I was probably about eight, I think. And I mean, it's a very childish poem, but it reflects the times that I grew up in as well.
Right. Now, what type of things these days do you normally write about?
Well, I suppose you could say that largely my poem is descriptive poetry. It reflects the world around me, the way I interact with it, the way it affects me. Yeah, nature probably.
It's more about nature than harsh social comment,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, although I have written some poems that are social comment. I mean, I remember writing about Kennedy's assassination and also about the terrible injustices we have, the awful injustice that humans wreak on one another, poverty and wars, atrocities. Yeah, so I do that when it moves me, yeah.
Right, now, as well as writing in free verse, some of your poems are written in different styles, such as pantomimes. Could you tell us a little about these styles and the challenges they present, please?
I love writing structured poetry. I think it forces you to write more tightly and also makes you think more deeply, because you're having to write more tightly. And it's just such fun to do it. I mean, we all know the sonnet and the ode and the haiku, but there are many, many other forms. Some of them are very ancient, like the guzzle, which I just love that name, but it doesn't describe what it really is. It's a beautiful form of poetry where you write in couplets or two lines, and each couplet relates in some way to the general theme. It's rather like beads in a necklace where they join together, but they're still on their own. It's beautiful and it's very ancient. And then there are other forms that are quite modern. Yes, I really do. I love it. I love the fact that some of them have rhyming patterns that are different. Others have rules of rhyming, rules of repeating lines. I just think it's great to try.
It's pity more people actually didn't go back to that. Free verse is kind of like a way out, isn't it?
I actually agree with you, Galen. I think that free verse can make people just ramble on.
Yeah. Now, we all have our own ideas of what makes a good poem. What's your what for you makes a good poem?
Well, firstly, it does need to be well written, carefully chosen words, and quite tight. It doesn't have to rhyme, but of course, a rhyming poet, there's nothing wrong with a rhyming poem, but it doesn't have to rhyme, but it has to have that movement, that rhythm that carries the ideas along. I think that's really what a poem is about. It needs to trigger some sort of emotion in the reader. It also lets us see the everyday in a different way. Now, many, many years ago, I read a poem by a New Zealand author, and it had a line in it that I still remember. It was, "The tui flies on taffeta wings." Now, that was in the era of going to dances and wearing taffeta petticoats. And they made this lovely swishing noise as you moved. So I identified with that line. I've tried to find the poem since, but never have. And so every time I hear a tui fly, I smile and murmur that line to myself. It's just beautiful. So, yeah, originality.
Do you think poetry should also be accessible? I mean, a lot of modern, so-called modern poetry, you spend half an hour trying to work out what it means.
I so agree with you, Galen. I remember for years reading the poem that would be in The Listener, and sometimes I could get it, and other times I would really struggle. I think there's two types of poetry. There's the poetry that some people write, and it's really for themselves. It's really because it's coming from deep within them, something that we don't understand. And then there are poems that are written almost to be shared. They need a voice, and those are the ones I love.
Right. Could you please recite one of your poems for us?
Oh, I'd love to do that. I guess I'll recite one. I was walking on Pahara Beach in Golden Bay, and I'd stepped onto the beach feeling angry and upset. There'd been an issue, as we all get. And as I walked along, I realised that I was becoming calm and more at peace, and I wondered why that was. So this is what the poem is. It's called Simply That. What is it about a beach that calms the mind, that reminds you where the wildflower grows and slows the gaudy carousel? Is it the feel of the sea salt tongue licking at your feet? The hypnotic hush of waves from the sea's deep respiring, like the pulsing of the womb remembered still? Is it the way your eye is drawn to that far horizon with all its possibilities? The blue, unbroken view unchanged since the young earth's cooling. Perhaps it's your magpie eye delight in its cornucopia as you drag home driftwood and shells and a green glass buoy from a fisherman's net to hang on the white veranda. Or simply that the suckling sea takes away the steps of others, leaving you the first.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Now, for the last 10 years or so, you've been involved in organising Poem in the Window for the Top of the South Writers. Could you please tell us a little about that?
Well, I didn't actually start the scheme. It was the brainchild of Nelson poet Eva Brown, who wrote under her maiden name Pani Palashti. Her desire was to have poems displayed in public places where people passing by would read them. So the Nelson Museum was the first venue, and Ava called for submissions from local poets, and she would display a poem each month in the Nelson Museum window. Well, nowadays, they're displayed in Page and Blackmore, the bookshop in Trafalgar Street. Anyway, 7 months into the scheme, Ava invited me to have lunch at her place and then passed the task over to me. Now, that was very cunning because it's quite difficult to turn your hostess down, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. So for the last 10 years, I've been selecting and printing up a poem that someone has submitted and putting it in Page and Blackmore's window. So if any listeners are passing by that window, please stop and read the latest poem. And also, if you're a poet, I'd really love to read your work. The poems are also included in the biennial anthologies that the Top of the South writers publish every 2 years. They're short stories and then the poems.
And the book's called Horizons, and it's available from Page and Blackmore's, Top of the South website, and also in the library. Okay, now, you've also had 2 children's books published, Arabella and the Bubble, and Tanu and Little Blue. Could you please tell us the reasons behind writing them?
Well, in 2005-2006, I attended the creative writing course under Cliff Fell at NMIT. And during the course, I studied writing for children. And I very happily wrote 2 picture books. It was fun. I really enjoyed it. And the first one is about a little girl who floats away in an enormous bubble blown by her grandma, and the amazing efforts that grandma goes to try and recover her granddaughter. And the second is about a young boy who finds a baby dragon under a hedge, and he looks after him until the mother dragon comes back and takes him home to Dragonland. Now, some years after I wrote those, my 2 grandchildren were born, a little girl, Arabella, belonging to my son and his wife, and Tanu, a little boy, who is my daughter's little son. He lives in Perth, sadly, so I don't see much of him. But I decided to rework these stories and have them illustrated. And then I gave Arabella and Tanu a hard-covered copy of their book. And the main idea, I think, was so they had a permanent reminder of their old grandma, because I won't be around when they grow up. I'm too old. So I wanted something special that they would remember me by. And I'm so glad I did it. And I remember Arabella, about a year after giving her the book, she said to me one day, "Grandma, some people think I'm famous."
Aww.
Don't you love that?
Oh, that's yeah, so
because
sweet.
They have copies in their school libraries, you see.
Oh, it's so sweet. Now, the books are quite different in format. One's landscape, one's portrait. Why?
I wanted the books to be different. I really wanted them to have a book that didn't identify too much with the other child. Yeah, that was my main reason. The other reason was Arabella and the Bubble. The bubble on every page is climbing higher and higher. So you have to have room on the page. So hers had to be a portrait shape. And whereas Tanu and Little Blue, the little dragon, that all takes place horizontally in the world. So I could make that one horizontal.
Right. Now, you used a different illustrator for each book. Why?
Well,
same reason again, or?
Well, because the stories are so entirely different. Arabella's book, Arabella and the Bubble, is more female-orientated, and it's very fanciful, very fanciful. So I thought that Janet Marshall's illustrating style would suit that best. You know, she's wonderful at birds and plants, flowers, trees. She's wonderful at doing fanciful things like fairies and mushrooms, toadstools and things. So that worked beautifully. And then Tanu and Little Blue probably appeals more to little boys than little girls, although I know there are lots of little girls who like it. Mm. And I knew that Willem's illustrations would suit that because they have a bolder style. Yeah.
Right, it's funny because I actually liked Arabella. I like both books, but Arabella, I just love the language in it with the sound of the sirens and that sort of thing, because the language is quite different in both books too.
It is, it is.
Perhaps you'd like to read something, a small piece from both Arabella and Tanu.
That would be lovely. I'll start off with Arabella and the Bubble. And what I thought was I'd read the beginning of it because it sets the scene. Arabella's grandma loved blowing bubbles. Every morning, when the dishes were done, the floor was swept, and the washing pegged on the line, she would smile and say, "Come on, Arabella, let's blow bubbles." Arabella would fetch her little bubble wand and Grandma's big bubble wand. Grandma would fill a basin with soapy water. Then out into the garden they would go. Arabella's bubbles were little and light, swirled with rainbow colours. They floated away like a butterfly's kiss. When they touched something, they went pop and disappeared, just like that. Grandma's bubbles were big and bright. They floated about the garden and went bounce, bounce, bounce on the table, the watering can, and pots of purple daisies. When they touched something sharp, they went pop, pop, pop. Grandma and Arabella would laugh and laugh. One morning, Grandma said, "Arabella, sit on the grass and I'll blow a bubble around you. It will be the biggest, most wonderful bubble I have ever blown." Grandma filled her bubble wand and began to blow. First the bubble covered Arabella's curls. Then it covered her t-shirt and trousers. Then it covered her little feet. And Arabella was all inside the bubble. "Oh, Grandma," said Arabella, "what a pretty world. I can see rainbows everywhere."
So cool. Right, and did you want to read just a page from Tanu?
Yes, I'll do that.
Just so we can see the difference.
Yes.
Or hear the difference, sorry, we're not on TV.
When Tanu first saw something blue under his neighbour's hedge, he thought it was the toy car he'd lost the week before. He crouched and picked it up. The something blue sat on his palm and stared at him with sparkling ruby eyes. It had tiny horns and spines, a pair of golden wings, and a little blue and gold striped tail. Breathed Tanu. "Are you real? Are you a dragon?" The something blue nodded. "Yep, I'm waiting for my mum. I fell off, you see." "Fell off?" said Tanu. "Fell off what?" "My mum," said the little dragon. "We were flying over here last night and I slid off her back. But it's okay. She'll come for me when it's dark." "That's good," said Tanu, "but I'd better take you home, little blue. A cat might get you here."
They're both extremely good, but they are quite different.
Yes.
And I think that's some of the appeal of them. Now, what are you working on at the moment?
Well, apart from continuing to write poems, I've got two projects. I'm helping to compile the fourth poetry anthology of the Boulder Writers, the poetry group that I've been in now for more than 20 years. And, of course, Galen. You were a member of that for some years. And once that's completed, I'm finally going to compile and publish my own poetry anthology.
Thank you.
I've been promising to do that for years, but somehow life has got in the way. But I'm determined to do it now. And after that, who knows, might write another picture book.
We look forward to seeing your anthology of poetry very much. Now, the song you've chosen today is O Mio Bambino Caro by Puccini. Tell us a little about what the aria is about. It's from a very little known Puccini opera.
Right. It's about this beautiful girl who's fallen in love with someone whom her father doesn't approve and has refused to let her marry him. And she is saying to her father, please, please listen to me. I love this man. I want to marry him. And if you don't let me marry him, I will throw myself off the bridge into the canal. So, yeah, the Ponte Vecchio in Venice. Yeah. And Kiri Takanawa sings this absolutely beautifully. She has recorded it many times, but the one I've chosen is probably my favourite recording of it. Now, there's another reason why I've chosen this, and that's because Kiri, of course, the New Zealand singer, has had a wonderful career, and she was taught by Sister Mary Leo in Auckland. And Sister Mary Leo is probably one of the most famous teachers of singing in New Zealand. And my sister, Betty Dawn, who died last year, was also trained by Sister Mary Leo. And so she knew Kiri. And a couple of times when we've gone to a live performance of Kiri, Betty has taken me backstage, and Kiri has been so warm in her greetings with my sister Betty. So that has been the other reason. It's almost like a link with my past.
Right, so now we're going to listen to O Mio Bambino Caro by Puccini, sung by Kiri Takanawa at the BBC Proms in Hyde Park. Thank you. Thank you so much, Carol, for talking with us today. Carol's books, Arabella and the Bubble, illustrated by Janet Marshall, and Tanu and Nihil Blue, illustrated by Willem Lutz, are available from Paper Plus in Nelson and Richmond. I'm Galen Pound, and you've been listening to Top Writers. A podcast of this program and upcoming events can be found on www.topwriters.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast available by funding the Access Media Project. Other great podcasts from Fresh FM are available through the accessmedia.nz app or our website freshfm.net.